This weekend, Iraqi politicians are still bargaining over who will be the country's new president, two vice presidents, and prime minister. The main Shiite coalition won a plurality of votes in last month's election for a National Assembly. This coalition's nominee for the prime minister's post, Ibrahim al-Jafari, got a boost Friday after meeting with Iraq's leading Shiite cleric. Mr. Jafari told reporters that Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani had blessed the process, which had chosen him, Mr. Jafari, as the coalition's candidate. To find out more about Ibrahim Jafari, we've invited in Laith Kuba, who's with the National Endowment for Democracy here in Washington. Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Jafari is a member, has been a member of the Dawah Party, a longtime opponent of Saddam Hussein. Can you tell me about this party's platform?
The party itself goes back to the late 50s. The founder of the party, late Mohammed Bakr Sadr, was executed by Saddam Hussein in 1980. And the whole party was built on the idea you convince people of an agenda. That all came to a halt in 1979 after the success of the revolution in Iran, which more or less shattered the party. It was fragmented because what happened in Iran did not follow the path of incremental, gradual change. So some became more radical, others abandoned the party, while al-Ja'fari was instrumental in maintaining that mainstream and putting the party together.
Because the Dawah Party, parts of it in any case, were certainly involved in a string of terrorist bombings in the Middle East. In the 80s, there were bombings in Beirut, in Kuwait.
I do not recall that there has been a single statement by the Dawah Party claiming responsibility for any of these activities. And the Dawah Party's agenda, which is known, does not advocate violence. But what happened in 1979, Saddam Hussein passed a decree condemning all members of the party to death. And what happened at that time, the Dawah Party did adopt armed resistance, and they did carry attacks within Iraq aimed very much at security agencies.
And they were accused of having carried out these attacks outside Iraq.
I think outside Iraq, the only incident that is linked to the Dawah Party, although not officially, is the bombing of the Iraqi embassy in Beirut.
Mr. Jafari moved to Iran along with some other party members. He lived in the holy city of Qom, Iran. What did he do there? I believe he was there about 10 years.
Up until 89, up until the end of the Iraq-Iran war, he was active. He managed to maintain the autonomous status of the party in Iran. That was very difficult to do because Iran was ruled by religious men with a strong religious agenda, and it was a very powerful message attracting all members of the Dawah Party to follow the line of Iran. But he has managed to keep to the original vision of the party. They wanted a party system, and they've pushed a more or less an autonomous Iraqi political party with very strong presence in Iran.
During the early part of the U.S. occupation, when there was the Iraqi interim government, Mr. Jafari was part of a group that wanted to impose some type of Sharia law that would govern family matters. And then that was basically ruled out by Paul Bremer.
Right.
Do you think he would still support this then, given that it would be clearly unpopular with the 40% of the population who in Iraq who are not Shia Muslims?
Sure. Knowing what I know about Jafari, this is not his priority. He's very modern in his thinking. He's a medical doctor who is very well read. He traveled throughout Europe. He knows the modern world. He believes in modern political systems. But if the terms of his office allows him to do Islamic law, then he will do Islamic law, of course, based on the consent of the people he represents. So I think he's a modern politician, not a traditional religious man who simply wants to rush into imposing traditional laws.
But when you say he would do Islamic law, what kind of Islamic law? How far would it go?
Islamic law, in the eyes of many in the West, boils down to more or less family law and maybe some in the penal system of cutting hands and imposing some very harsh restrictions on personal freedom. As far as Islamic law, he certainly would shift decision-making to the people. His bet, his gamble, is that the people would like to see government with conservative laws, and he will be there to advocate it.
And the role of women?
The role of women, I don't believe that, for example, he'll impose on women to wear a uniform simply because it's political suicide in Iraq. So I don't believe it'll go far, and he's not stupid to try to push such an agenda. However, he would give more room for those who want to practice Islam in their private life. He would give far more room to local districts and city councils to implement laws if that is the what is popular in these councils. And yes, these might have some inclinations.
So there could be different laws in Kurdistan in the north, for example, than would prevail in Basra in the south.
I think this is most likely what would emerge. Assuming he is in for this term, then it's only 10 months. Knowing what I know about his thinking, he'll do his best to deliver good services to the country so that he and his party get elected next time round.
Laith Kuba is Senior Program Officer for the Middle East at the National Endowment for Democracy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.